Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Blustering in from sea, with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Oh. Ah. Bum bum. Like,
hey, Bob.
Bum bum. Come on, Barry Thompson. What's happening, man?
Listen, man. I've taken some no-dose and drinking 5-hour energy. You got me up there watching 4 overtime games against NC State.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Man.
Yeah. Welcome to the party.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Oh, man. So what are your thoughts on that exhibit of basketball last night?
First of all, the Sebron guy is real.
Mm-hmm.
He's real. He's a Virginia boy, so it doesn't surprise me. He's from Norfolk.
Uh-huh.
It looks like I saw two young teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a mature team doesn't let you get them like that on their home court. And I just saw a lot of anxiousness. They competed hard. There's no question about that. You saw what you want out of both teams, play hard. I thought toward the end, it wasn't as defined for Nebraska for a whole bunch of reasons as to who should get the ball in those clutch moments or how they as a team were going to handle those clutch moments, whereas on the NC State end, it was very defined. You know, we're going to give it to Sebron and let him go do his thing. You know, typical things in close games, foul shots and things like that. But a good game, and it was good to see them go on the road and compete like that. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, we were having a conversation with Strick, and I was like, yeah, I got to remember that dude just turned 19 years old, man. Like, mm-hmm. Bryce McGowan just turned 19, and he's playing at NC State in Raleigh. That is, look, man, a whole lot of dudes got facial hair and chest hair playing in Reynolds. Like, that's when it finally hit. Because there's different players.
Right.
But, you know, through whatever it was good to watch for them to fight. I mean, to get to 4 overtimes,
yeah,
man, go ahead and do your thing, man. It was pretty amazing. I was trying to think back to if there was ever a game that went four overtimes that I was involved in. I couldn't think of any.
No. The only one that I've been involved in, I'm sitting on the couch watching it.
Well, you know,
I've never had a four overtime game. And it was so funny when they started, Cindy was with me, and I said, they're not going to score. I said, watch how long they go without scoring in the first overtime. And then when they hit that fourth one, you could see like almost like the players were kind of like, oh, are you kidding me? Like it almost became a fun atmosphere for them.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of relaxed and they were tired and giddy. And you want to win those games. And but at the end, it was entertaining. They fought really, really hard. And they'll recover. And both teams, what always matters next in these sports games is the next game.
Yeah.
So they fall on their face next game, then, you know, you go back to that. That's how they handle it. They come up and fight again and come up a winner, boom. And the same thing with NC State. They turn around and lose a game next. It doesn't matter how hard they fought. So it's a tough part of sports, but it's the challenging part of sports.
Barry, we're at this place where, once again, we're starting to see behind the curtains on how the business of sport is being done and who the people
are.
It
isn't pretty, is it?
Right, like, and who the people are. Like, we've moved from job to job based on situation, but I'm a little offset by some of the adults, right? That quite frankly, the adults are misbehaving and the children are paying the price. Like, the young people are paying the price. The young men and women are paying the price. I don't have to call them children. But the young men and women of collegiate sports are paying the price for adults misbehaving badly. And I try not to be that judgy, but my goodness gracious. Have we lost? Can we ever get back to where the adults do what's right by the young people?
No, not at that level.
Yeah.
You can kind of see why now, even though it seemed like hypocrisy, right, that the Olympics fought to keep that veil of amateurism over what they were doing. And you can kind of see now, even though it didn't make sense, the hypocrisy of the NCAA and how the presidents were operating their sports and the bowl money and the disadvantage of athletes and coaches being able to pay millions and things like that. I think the sport will come back to some type of equilibrium with all this dislocation at some point, just because there are so many people involved around it, the ultimate consumers, the people that are participating in it, that they'll put enough pressure in it to bring it back to some equilibrium. But right now, we're in a period of Wild Wild West. We just are. They've pulled back the curtain, and everybody sees the wellspring of money, and you've got a mixture of people doing things for money, which is never a good thing, and you have people that are doing things that are divorced of money, right? And when you have that in the mix, it's kind of ugly. You know, a coach might have taken a job because he wanted to step up and he wanted the prestige and, you know, and to get that and to coach on a big stage. Well, now you're seeing guys on a big stage leave. So then what are they after? Well, then I'm going to give them benefit of doubt, knowing that all these schools have different admissions policies, knowing that some administrations are willing to do X whatever to go pursue a national championship. Some aren't, that we're seeing a kind of realigning of partners. And that also includes from a player standpoint. That started with the players and the quarterbacks hitting the transfer portal about 3 years ago. Remember the guys at Georgia were leaving. The Ohio State backup, right? You had Tate Martell that left. And you had here's my guy that went to LSU, that's at Cincinnati now.
Burrow. Yeah.
He left, right? So the players, ironically, kind of started it, and now the coaches are kind of following suit. It's not pretty, and it's confusing. And I think they're going to hang out a help wanted sign at some of these places because I saw an article a long time ago. When a coach moves, the domino effect, in most cases, of 25 or 30 person staff that has to then move is unbelievable. And you start adding up the economic factors, buying a house, moving, going down a level, buying houses, relocating kids and families. And then they're moving to a place where that has also happened. And then those people have to find a home. So it's an incredible economic move at the high levels when a head coach changes. But it's not pretty right now.
On the other side, I mean, with the transfer portal, it allows some freedoms, even some undeserved freedoms, but some freedoms for players to make a move. And I say this, anytime a quarterback who has played 4 years in the system and been the guy, right, wear and tear to his body, his ego, his system, and then he decides to leave after 4 years, that's a lot, right? That, look, to be honest about Adrian Martinez, you've stated clearly who you thought the guy was as a quarterback, right? The guy plays the position, he plays it at a high level. He just didn't win, you know, the bulk of his games. What do you do? How should you process Adrian Martinez as a Nebraska Cornhusker?
Well, he has all these numbers, right? And I just looked at an article transferring, a 71% completion rates, and he has all these records there. It's a function of playing as a freshman, but you also have to have some amount of effectiveness. He, I think, kind of fell victim to his own expectations. When he hits the scene as a freshman there, right, everybody's thinking, okay, well, this is just going to get much better. But that ecosystem around a quarterback is so important that you can look at his talent, and it's just tough to tell, DP, unless you're in that room every day, of what he's being asked to do day to day. It's just like, how is he at, you know, because from an outsider, he seems too talented to not cross the Rubicon in those moments that everybody wants him to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so either he has a personality flaw, right, or there's something in you know, what you're asking a quarterback to do in certain moments maybe doesn't equip him to perform in those moments. I don't know which is which. But, you know, now we're going to be able to see. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but now that they're going in different directions, we'll be able to see. If the next guy that comes in there and he has the same type of problems in certain moments, then either they're choosing wrong or there's something flawed about the approach. And then on the other hand, if we go out and see him just succeed in those moments, and you know, then it kind of indicates that at least he was being asked to do things that he was more equipped to do. I don't know which it is. He has a talent level that indicates that he should be at not only the level he is, but maybe a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't click in those moments. And you can explain it away, but at the end of the day, this is kind of about coming through and winning or not winning. And I don't know which is which.
Well, it's so then watching the performance of Logan Smothers a week ago, right, with all the doubts and concerns and all the things that have been put in the water, saying that this guy couldn't do this, couldn't do that, wasn't ready, that the gap between Adrian and Logan was so substantial that he didn't warrant minutes or moments throughout the season. And then, you know, they did exactly with Logan, exactly what they did with Adrian. And you got the same result. You literally got the same result.
You bring it up, not me. you know, there's something there. And we've seen this before with, you know, for your folks in the way back when Robert Griffith Jr., this is really way back because he had a 15-year career and he's in the booth now. But there was a period of time with the Redskins where he was being asked to do things he was really good at.
Mm-hmm.
And they were flying, right? And they come against this playoff game against Seattle, and there's a young guy named Russell Wilson. He gets hurt. Wilson went to second half, and he goes on to become Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, things changed with the Washington football team, and Robert Griffith for a period of time became a cautionary tale. So same guy, same exact guy, but then something happened where he's being asked to do different things that he wasn't good at, and it just, a career went down the tubes. So, you know, as a cheering for the Huskers and everything, I hope it's not internal. You know, but as much as I'm a fan of Adrian, I hope it's not a flaw. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you have this early indication, as you said, where it looked similar. And then right in those moments, here come the yips, here comes the special teams, here comes these things.
Insulate your home and start saving on energy costs with Owens Corning Foamular Insulation. These panels are moisture resistant and rugged enough to be used above and below ground. Plus, these pink panels are available in many different sizes and thicknesses to fit any project. Say big on Owens Corning Foamular Insulation. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And it goes back to my central point, that ecosystem around a quarterback. It's just so important, right? You've got to give, if it's an important position, you have to treat it importantly, mm-hmm. right? You have to have protections that cover things. You have to have routes that make sense. You know, you have to have the flexibility that, you know, if you're getting pressured, can you shorten or deepen a route? You have to have a defined way of getting the ball to your best players. The field has to be clearly defined for him. And then you have to practice it. And he has to be prepared. And if he has any amount of talent, you do that, then, you know, then you got something. You jump to the NFL, you know, when was it the Jones kid, Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to poo-poo him because, you know, he didn't think he had the arm strength. He was really smart, blah, blah, blah. And the Patriots seem to be doing just fine. It's because everything's defined there. He knows exactly what he's going to do, right? He knows exactly. Let me put it this way. Quarterbacks can get a lot done before the ball is snapped. They really can.
Through film study
and looks and things, they can get it done. And so when you see a quarterback take the snap, go back, and complete a pass, that means that he got a ton done. There is no reading a defense. I always think, like, there's no book. You don't have time. You have 1.5 seconds to process your first decision. You got another 3/10 to get the ball out of your hands. If you're not making that first decision, you get about another 2/10 to process the second and another 2/10 to get it out of your hands. So you're at most, you're at 1.9 to 2 seconds if you get to your second option. And how many times have you seen Adrian go back and look and look and look and look and then run and look? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? We're going to find out pretty soon.
Yeah, from the text line, and it speaks to what you were just talking about, but yes, please ask how much of the success and or failure of Adrian is credited or discredited to his surrounding pieces.
Yeah, it's a great question from the text line. All I can tell the texter is that the ecosystem around the quarterback has to be right, and you have to be, in order to be successful, and you have to ask the quarterback to do things that he's really good at. Now, which one of those moving pieces is the flaw and the kind of fly in this ointment? I don't know because I'm not there every day. But trust me, there's something not right with it because it so consistently came up at the not good at the wrong moment. And like I said, an indication is you can see quarterbacks that get so much done pre-snap with their concepts and so forth that they can know. There's really two ways of passing the ball. There are two ways. There's one where you have a pure progression. You're going 1, 2, 3, whatever that case would be. The other is you can identify in your route structure, based what you're looking on, you can see a route beater. So just in the simplest of forms, if somebody was playing an old-fashioned cover 4, right, as a quarterback, I come up, I know that the weakness of that structure is in the flat. So if I come up, I may have 3 different patterns, but if one of them's going to the flat, down distance, I know exactly where I'm going with the ball, where I'm starting with my progression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, colleges do a great job of, you know, covering things, buzz 3, week 3, all that kind of stuff that they play. But those quarterbacks understand that stuff, and they know where the weakness of that structure is, right? So then, you know, it sounds simple talking about on the radio,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean to to take anything away from the guys that work really hard at this stuff. But I think even they will tell you that it wasn't completely right. And I don't know why, but it wasn't completely right. And so maybe the separation is best for everybody.
Through all of this, we talked to Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. Barry, the battles for the quarterback position are so unique. So when a coach or coaching staff says, listen, my guys, there's the best guy and nobody else is close. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that mean he's working from and working with?
It's tough because I'm learning more and more through my guys, right, who are fighting these different battles in these different quarterback rooms and are fighting them, right? And they're all at different stages. I have guys that have fought through to become the starter. I have two or three guys that are – I have three or four guys that are, like, next spring they're really going to make a push. It is – think of it this way. Imagine you were the most accomplished quarterback in your state. I don't know. You threw for, 3,800 yards. You had 30 touchdowns. You had two interceptions. You're fast, you're smart, you're good in school. Some school chooses you, and you feel pretty good about that, but you go into the room with three other guys exactly like you. That's why they chose you, mm-hmm. because you're exactly like the other four guys. Now imagine that. You're this accomplished high school quarterback, and you go into a quarterback room with three other guys, if you look at their bios, whose bios almost exactly match yours. Different states, they exactly match yours, except two of them have been there for 2 years already. One of them is a starter that has 10 or 15 starts underneath his belt. So that's your starting place. So the first weeding out is, are you the type of guy, and this is the real grind, not that little grind that, you know, guys post a little bit, I'm on my grind. The real grind is, are you willing to do everything that's required of you, do it to the best of your ability, and there you don't know if there's light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. So the first separation is, do you love it that much? Because a lot of guys will go by the wayside. Or they'll decide, hey, I don't like this line. I want to go play. I thought this would be good. So that weeds out a lot of the guys. Now you're left with, instead of four, you're left with two, maybe three guys. And let's say you got the starter and you're that third guy in and you're better than the second guy. So now your challenge is in practice, in the room, off the field, you've got to demonstrate to these coaching staffs who aren't looking at you very much that you are better than the second string guy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that involves, right, you're just sitting on the sideline during practice and all of a sudden you haven't warmed up and they say, get in there. Like it goes like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you better not mess it up, right? You better not mess it up. You're just sitting there and, you're used to, like, maybe going four practices and, you know, let's say there's 10 periods and after period two, you're used to not getting any reps. All of a sudden, you're in period seven and they say, get in there. Right?
Yep.
So that's another test. How ready are you? Right? How can you – do you have the ability to summon something on command cold? That's another test. Another test that I'm guessing this is what college coaches do because I'm hearing similar stories from our quarterback. They may suddenly just take your reps away from you. No explanation. Right? So then now how are you going to react? Right? And I've talked a couple quarterbacks off the ledge, too, when that happens. So you fight through that. The whole process is by the time they give that ball to that guy, and you've all done this before. We've all been sitting there watching the game, and some team's winning, I don't know, by 30. And it's the fourth quarter, maybe 6 minutes to go. And you're going, man, they should take the starters out. I'm going to tell you, after going through a process like that, you try to take that quarterback off the field.
Yeah. Right? Right?
He ain't coming off for nobody.
Right.
It's a combination of those trials, their own fighting through these adverse moments that would make normal humans just throw their hands up and walk away, that somehow in those moments they take another step and they say, I don't care, I'm going to do this anyway. That guy ultimately emerges to be a starter somewhere at a Power 5 school or even at a FCS school. Yeah. That line is tough, too.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of toughness that goes into this, a lot of tears, a lot of heartache that goes into these guys that you see on Saturday flinging the ball around. And then the last thing is, once they get to that, they have to have remarkable consistency. They, in most of these competitive rooms, they've got to be remarkably consistent. You know, they cannot be up and down guys. And, you know, because there are grown men who are essentially entrusting their livelihood to this guy that's so important to the team. So it's a tough process, very tough process. It's not for everybody.
Two-part question from the text line. Do you think Martinez is bad at reading defenses, and do you think he's told not to audible at all?
I don't know. It is a great question. But that's a good thing. Like, maybe he's played 4 years and he went to audible and they told him, well, we don't audible, right? That's a possibility. I'm not there in the meeting room. Or maybe it could be the converse could be true, right? He could be told audible and he never does it. We don't know. Mm-hmm. I would think that playing 4 years and seeing defenses over and over again, I would think that he has a sense of, like, where he should go and where he should start. But it's still confounding to me why we would see him so often kind of hold the ball for so long. Maybe that was part of the design, that they wanted him to hold the ball for these deeper routes and they just didn't uncover. You know, I don't know. But like I said, there's two things that we can be sure of. When it's good, we know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Quarterback gets the ball, snaps, boom, the ball's out of his hands. When it's not good, for whatever reason, we know what that looks like. He's back, he's waiting around, making bad decisions, forcing the ball late. We know that part. What's in between, unless we're in those meeting rooms every day, we don't know.
Right. It really is. It really is. All of that's true, right? What are we eating?
Yeah. Well, we had a Thanksgiving fast. So I know people, no disrespect to the traditional turkey and all the trimming, but a traditional kind of early settler Virginia Thanksgiving was ham, oysters, and maybe some duck. So we typically have some Virginia smoked ham. We'll make some oyster stew. But what I was really proud of this week is we made some duck sausage andouille, or duck andouille sausage gumbo. And I had it, and if you've never made gumbo before, whoever invented that deserves a monument. it starts with I'll walk you through the dish really quickly. There's a place called Mark's Duck House which roasts the duck. So we get the duck and we just take the meat off and put the bones aside, and it has a very flavorful fatty skin, and we take that aside. With the roux, it's basically flour and oil. So in this case it was the duck fat from the skin. You render that fat and then you put the flour in. The challenge with the roux is it typically can take long. The darker the color the roux, right, the more flavor that it has in your gumbo. So we take this all the way to a chocolate brown, like a Hershey bar color roux. And then in goes your Trinity, which is the green peppers, the onions, and celery. That gets stirred around, some garlic, you know, other stuff in there. And then eventually stock goes in. Then the sausage goes in. And then stock, and then the duck goes in. And while it's cooking, you let it go for about an hour and a half. Now, these duck skins were sitting there. And I looked at them, I was about to throw them away, and I said, wait a second. Let me crisp these things off in the cast iron skillet. So they turned into like duck crackling, right? These little flavorful skin crackling. And so once you serve that over rice with some green onions, and we put these duck cracklings on top. I'm telling you, DT.
Ooh. You need to share the picture on 93.7 The Ticket. Go ahead and share the picture, because
I will. And I tell you what I did a couple days later. We got a hold of some crabs, and so I picked a couple crabs, got all the lump meat out and all that stuff, and I reheated it, and I put a couple claws in there and put some crab meat on there. I'll share that picture. Ooh. So that was the leftovers. So we put crab meat on top.
Barry Thompson, appreciate you, brother. Let them know how they can find you.
All right. Oh, well, you can find me on Twitter at VAQB8, Virginia QB8. That's probably the best place to find me. You can find me on Facebook, Barry Thompson. You'll see my mug up there and a lot of quarterback stuff. We just post a lot about our postseason guys, our college guys that are coming in. So you can take a look at that on Twitter or that. And we'll get our Instagram account fired up here pretty soon.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Hug the wife. Kiss the kids, man. Appreciate you.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. Toward a break, Husker Hall of Famer Jay Former will call us up next on Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
If you love hurricanes, daiquiris, and, well, any rum cocktail, listen up. Captain Morgan's about to shake things up like never before. We're talking Bourbon Street, New Orleans, home to legendary drinks and unforgettable moments. But what if we told you the most iconic cocktails here have one thing in common? Hint, it's not bourbon. That's right, it's rum. And Captain Morgan is bringing unforgettable fun to Bourbon Street in a way you won't want to miss. Get ready for something big as we gear up for Super Bowl 59. Make sure to keep your eyes on NOLA's most iconic street. Who knows, Bourbon Street might just need a new name. Stay tuned for clues and get ready for the most legendary adventure yet. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big.